a hero will come. An elite young knight was unsettled, seeing the most curious thing. A mounted fighter addressed his lance and shield, unhorsed 10 stout knights in joust after joust, and dropped his arms, bowing in abject defeat. He let the beaten knights pull him to the ground. They bound his wrists and tied him under his horse, leading him in foul disgrace through the town. The young knight witnessed this in disbelief. It made no sense. How could a man so stalwart give in to such debasement and abuse? He discovered the man had lost himself for love. The man, Peleus, had closed his heart like a fist around dreams of his lady, Arcade. He couldn't let go. She was a doña of the castle, fair and proud, who stalked the parapets, a flyaway blonde with red ribbon scarves, looking down. Hard for anyone to miss, except Peleus. The whole point of his repeated humiliation was to see her. The knights he vanquished would lead him to the castle courtyard, roped to his horse, where Arcade would stoop and glare from the walls and order a fresh outrage for next week. Tie him to the tail and drag his face in the dirt. Peleus was then booted out the gate. The doña wanted the loser gone forever, or so she said. But discerning folks believed Arcade's infatuation with power over Peleus was parallel to his obsession for her. Together they tied an unholy knot. The fine young knight was taken with pity over this endless degradation and offered to help the man he saw that Peleus was. He said he would trade horses and armor with the older man and ride to Arcade's castle to present himself as one who killed Peleus. The thinking was that her relief at feeling her tormentor gone and the follow-up jolt of losing the heart that most yearned for her would stir up an alchemy of love in her heart for Peleus, the man she had grown to abhor. Magic in the logic? Yes, but it was a start. The young knight had pledged his loyalty to Peleus, but when he saw Arcade, something broke. The doña filled his eyes in a golden moment, his constitution morphing to something else. Everything was new. He could have anything. And the lady rather fancied her new tool. While Peleus awaited word from his faithful friend of the lady's change of heart, the young knight followed the lady to a pavilion outside the castle, where a bed was appointed just for them. They stayed for days, weaving a tapestry of desire. Meanwhile, Peleus had an inkling something wasn't right. On the third day before dawn, he rode to the castle and saw the grand pavilion. He entered and watched the lovers twining together in sleep. They should be dead, he thought. But murdering them defenseless like that was wrong. He left and went back twice to kill them, but couldn't. The second time, he laid his naked sword across their throats. He rushed out and rode away. With no will to live, Peleus went off to his pavilion and told his knights the story. He said he would shed his armor and arms and go to bed where he belonged until death. when Arcade and the young knight awoke with a steel blade across their necks, they knew whose sword it was. The knight was seized with shame, and the Dungnir with fury, at the knight's double betrayal. He broke in faith with Peleus and lied to Hurd about killing him. The knight slunk away to the forest. Around Peleus, his men openly grieved their master's plague. One of them, crying in a bosque, was approached by the Lady of the Lake, Nimue, who was passing there. She asked the reason. On hearing about the master's agony, she said, "Bring me to him. He shall not die for love." The knight led Nimue to the tent and the dying bed, where the pallid man lay still, not waking or sleeping, in a darkness where everything but life is gone. She saw a man who would do anything for love, whose love was a disconnection, a bleeding vessel. An enchantress, Nimue stepped into the breach. She cast a spell on Peleus to sleep and ordered no one to wake him. She rode to Arcade's castle and brought the Dungnir back to the dying man. The lady's power overtook Arcade, who bent down to Peleus and thought she burst with yearning for him, an astonishing change of heart. It was a turn of poetic justice. Arcade had so casually held herself above the man and shown no mercy for his weakness. He was valiantly weak, giving her more reason for mercy. Nimue was hard on her for that, fanning a counterspell on Peleus. When he awoke, he saw only the grotesque that Arcade was, her flyaway coiffure and frivolous fashion, accented by the red tails of a scarf, affectations of status and honor. For Peleus, her confections no longer hid the bitterness of her heart. Arcade fled in defeat. The field was clear. Nimue called Peleus to ride with her out of that country. As they went, Peleus marveled at his change of heart and soul. Things were so bleak and now so verdant. He thanked God for it all. The lady was cruel in her compassion. "You may thank me," she said. Sam S. Dodd.